This morning, what am I going to talk about? Well, Pastor Aaron wants us to talk about the four labdues of our grace mission statement. We want to be a people of influence. And how are we going to influence our world? The four labdues that we have is worship, word, work, and witness. How do we influence our world? We influence by worshiping fervently. That's what we did this morning. We influence by walking the word. We influence by walking the extra mile. And we influence by witnessing boldly. Last Sunday, Pastor Kara shared on his personal life as she witnessed to her dying brother. What a message, sister. We were blessed. You know, it's so important that we are not here just to fill the air and fill the stomach. We are here to be an influencer for who? For Jesus Christ. And this morning, I'm speaking on worship, that we influence by worshiping fervently. How do we do that? How do we worship God fervently? Then our worship must engage with God. So I'm speaking on engaging worship using Mark chapter 12, 28 to 34, and Romans chapter 12, verse 1 to verse 2. Worship. We are Pentecostal. And, you know, spirit-filled believers. And so, most of us will know how to sing, you know, pray and speak in the heavenly language. So worship is not something new to us. We practice it and we do it every Sunday. In fact, worship is just part of Christian life and church life. You know, so we all worship. We come here on a Sunday, we worship. I've been worshiping God since I came to know Him. But there was one Sunday while I was worshiping that God impressed my heart during the Sunday service. The impression He has on my heart was, when you worship, connect with me and engage with me. Wow. Is it not frightening, alarming, that you can worship so skillfully, yet fear to connect with God or engage with God? Is it not frightening? Contemporary worship is what we have today. But contemporary worship is losing its focus. And what is the focus of worship? The focus of worship is about God. Say amen. It's not about how you feel after worshiping God. It's not about the style, whether you do it with Him, fast song or slow song, loud or soft. It's not about the hyper music, the lighting, the smoke to create an uplifting and feel good atmosphere. It's not about that. Worship must be about engaging with only one person, that is God, our Creator, our Savior, and our Lord. A few years ago, I used to fly up to Sydney quite often when my wife was there helping my daughter in his first year when she had a baby. And when I'm there, I'll go to a very big church that is near her house. I want you to know, when I walk into the church, the sound, the music, the atmosphere, the lighting, the first beat, I want you to know, my soul was lifted up. I felt, wow, what a place to be. They have been able to create an atmosphere of God. is not about atmosphere. Worship is about the presence of God that comes. And the presence of God brings the anointing of God. And when the anointing of God is present, the Bible said the anointing of God will break the what? Will break the yoke. So that people come, if they are in bondage, they will live free. So that people come, when they are in trouble, they will live with hope. That is what worship is about, bringing God in, not creating an atmosphere to feel good. I was there for quite a few times, and I tell myself, you know, if I'm looking for the church, this is the place I want to be. But it was never about God. It's about feeling good when I come and feeling good when I leave. So what do I need to do? I need to come back next week to feel what? To feel good. That's the danger. When we substitute the anointing of God with sound, with music, with life. God told Moses, the anointing oil needs to be of this portion, this mix, and this mix. You must not substitute it. And the danger is modern Christianity has substituted God's presence with music, with sound, with light, with effect, with smoke, to create an uplifting and feel-good atmosphere. It is dangerous. One day, we were having a tutorial at Table Bible School. And the subject we talked about was worship. And in the midst of us, 10 students, was one young lady. She was an ex-drug addict. Thank God that she came to know the Lord, she was converted. And in the tutorial on worship, this is what she shared. She said that I'm an ex-drug addict. When I go to a church and the hype is there, I feel good, I feel hype. He said, it gave me the same feeling as when I was on a drug trip. And she said this, I go to a service on the morning, I go to the service in the afternoon, I find a service in the night, because each time I go, I feel good, I feel high. And we were Bible school students discussing. I told her, worship is never about how you feel. It's about God, about you engaging God. Because if you don't engage God in your worship, then all the jumping, the stretching of hands and the leg is just like having a workout in the gym. All the singing is like having a karaoke. But I'm telling you, when Sunday worship, when you come to engage God, not as an audience seeking entertainment, but as a true worshiper to engage with God, something will take place in your life. The 5P in engaging worship. The first P is this. Engaging worship is permeating your thoughts and mind with God. When you allow God to fill your mind and to fill every area, the next PowerPoint, the every areas of your mind. You see, the mind is the first place that you need to have when you engage with God. The second P, engaging worship is positioning yourself to allow God to soak your soul. Allowing God to speak to your soul. Allowing God to bring alignment to your soul. Engaging worship is pausing. When you stand before God, be still and know that I am God. When you stick and be still, you pause. Why are you pausing? Because you are allowing spiritual formation and for God to shape you. Engaging worship is pruning your life priority. You see, we are busy people. There are many things we want in life. But when we engage God, we allow Him to prune our heart so that our priority become seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Our priority become Him alone, because it is in Him we live, we move, and have our being. And lastly, about engaging worship is that it's processing the great promise in James chapter 4, verse 9. Come near to God, and I will come near to you. God wants us to engage Him in worship, just like Isaiah. Isaiah engaged God in worship in His presence. He saw God. He saw himself, was touched by God, and was changed by God, and he was sent out by God. That's what I want. When I come to worship God, I want Him to touch me. I want Him to change me. I want Him to align me. I want Him to commission me, to send me out. And I want Him to transform and commission me. Anything less than that, living the same way as I come, means I have not engaged with God. So there are two verses that I want to speak to define engaging worship. First is in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Let's read together. I urge you, brethren, in view of God's mercy, to offer your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of what? Of worship. So there are two keywords. In view of, and the second one is offer. So, engaging worship is when you respond to what? You respond to God's love. And how do you respond to God's love? The Bible tells, in view of His mercy, that God loves you, and the only way you can react back is to love Him. And this is what it means. That you respond because God is the one who loves you. He creates you. He saves you. He forgives you. He blesses you. He protects you and He loves you. And in view of what God has done for you, His love for you, so deep, so strong, and so real, the only thing you can do to God for what He is and what He has done is to respond to what? To worship Him. The second, first, in view of what God has done. The second, in engaging worship, is to offer. To give to God what He has given to you. Whatever you offer to God becomes worship. You give your time, dedicate your time, utilize your ability and talent for Him. It's worship. You serve Him and you serve others on behalf of His name. That is worship. You use the talent for Him. It is worship. When you live a life, God kind of life, obedient and righteousness, it is worship. All acts of worship bring what? Bring pleasure to God. So, what can we offer to God that has everything? Very difficult. When a rich person invites you to their house for his or her birthday, you don't know what to buy. They have everything. Have you realized that? Difficult. So how can you offer God who has created you, that has everything? The only way you can offer God is your love. This teacher asked Jesus, what is the most important command? And Jesus said in Mark chapter 12, verse 32, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the most important command. Jesus said that. Then in verse 33, the teacher connect love and worship as one. Let loving God the same way as you worship God. This is how you are to love God. This is how you are to worship God. Not nothing less. And this is where the religious teacher replied, to love him with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength is more important than all burnt offering and sacrifices. He knows, if you love God this way, you need to worship God the same way. How are you going to love God? You got to love God passionately with all your heart. How are you going to love God? You got to love Him purposefully with all your soul. How are you going to love God? You got to love God thoughtfully with all your mind. How are you going to love God? You got to love God practically with all your strength. In the same way you love God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. In the same way, you have to worship God. All. Not a quarter, half, or three quarter, but all, 100% fully, with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. That is how you worship God. The God who created the whole universe, the whole universe and you, does not possess these four: your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. He does not possess them. It takes you to voluntarily and willingly give it to Him. Say amen. And so the Bible tells us that God wants all of our heart. The heart is where the passion is. He wants all of our soul. That is where our inner motivation is. He wants all our mind. That is our attention. He wants all our strength. That is our ability. And God said, offer to me the same way you love me. I want you to worship me. So when we engage God in worship with all our heart, soul, and mind, and strength, when we do that, it pleases God. Is it possible to worship God without engaging Him? Is it possible? It is possible. The Israelites understood worship clearly. Three times a year, the men traveled to Jerusalem to worship God. And all the feasts in Israel were a celebration of worship. They were able to perform them religiously, dutifully, and faithfully. However, Jesus said in Mark chapter 7, verse 6 to verse 7, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teaching are but rules taught by men. So these people, Jesus talked about, that comes three times a year, did all the thing. They did it correctly. But something was amiss. What was amiss? The heart. If the heart is amiss, means the soul is not there, the mind is not there, the strength is not there. God wants true worshipper that engage Him. God is not looking for a robotic worshipper. Have you ever seen a robotic welder machine at work? Weld here a bit, weld there, weld in between. God do not want that. God wants us to worship Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Because God wants us to engage with Him with our whole being. In the same way you are commanded to love Him 100%, you are also commanded to worship Him 100%. So how do you do it? The four actions to engaging worship. Action number one, expressing your affection to God. Worship involves expressing your affection to Him with all your heart. All your heart. You cannot minus emotion when you worship God. You are not a robot. You are a human being made in the image of God. God gave you an emotion. God gave you feeling. You know, the God that we serve is not an angry God that He wants us to avoid Him or be afraid of Him. The God that we serve is a God that loves us and desires to be loved. This is what Exodus chapter 34 verse 14 says. He is the God who is passionate about His relationship with you. That God is passionate about you. Another translation is that He is jealous about you. This is how God feels about you. Therefore, in the same way God feels about you, being passionate, He wants you to worship Him passionately, with emotion, with feeling, with joy. And even if you want to cry before His presence, cry. Amen. You see, too many times when we worship God, we are too taken by those that are around us. But God wants us to worship Him with affection. Think about this. If I approach my wife one day and say, Pauline, here are some flowers for you. I give you this flower for three reasons. Reason number one, I'm your husband. Reason number two is our anniversary. Reason number three, husbands are supposed to give their wife flowers on their anniversary. This is the three reasons I'm doing for you. You think she will be thrilled? Whoa, thank you very much. Don't do that. Husband, you will be in trouble. She will turn around and say to me, let me give you three reasons why I cook for you. Because she wants my love to be affectionate. Not just a sense of duty. God does not want your duty alone. He wants your feeling, your emotion, your affection. The greatest way to express our affection to God is to give your life to Him, you yourself to Him, worship Him the way you're commanded to love Him. Because that is the essential of love. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. When you truly understand how much God loves and cares about every details of your life, the only correct and appropriate response is to express your affection to God. Express to Him wholeheartedly in worship. So, when you come together, don't be a robotic worshiper. Say amen. Don't be a spectator looking at other people, but be a passionate worshiper. One who worshiped God, like David, a man after his own heart, who was not afraid to express his emotion to God. Second action of true worship is aligning your purpose for God. Here, when you align your purpose for God, it means with all your soul. Your soul is the essential part of who you are. Your inner motivation, your desire, dreams, goals, and ambitions are expressed and motivation of your soul. So, if that soul is important, make sure you take care of your soul. You heard, damaged people damage others. So take care of your soul, because God wants you to have a healthy soul to love Him, to worship Him, and to serve Him. David understands what is a healthy soul. You look at David in the book of Psalms. A healthy soul said, I will praise him. I will trust him. Every David I will is good, positive, and glorifying to God. But then in the Bible, you had a parable of the rich fool. He also said, I will. I will do this. I will do that. And his I will is focused and tiding on who? On himself. On himself. He said to himself, so you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. So this rich fool, his soul is about himself. David, his soul is about God who has created, who has made him, who has affirmed him, who has strengthened him, who has given him purpose and meaning to life. The Christian soul is made up of your will, emotion, and mind. And that soul must be aligned. Aligned and renewed by the Word of God and the Holy Spirit. When the soul is renewed to God's purpose, then the soul, the inner motivation of your heart, can say this, God, your purpose is my purpose. Your will is my will. Your dream is my dream. Your desire is my desire. Because there is a world out there who is trying to shape your soul. But let your soul be shaped by God's word and by the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 12 verse 2. Do not become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You will be changed from inside out. Ready, recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, which is always dragging you down to its level of immaturity. God brings the best out of you, developing well-formed maturity in you. So this is what I want to do, God, that when I engage you in worship, I'm coming to your throne room, I'm coming to your presence, and I know when I'm in your presence, just one moment, when I see myself in you, God, just that one moment, just that one touch will bring alignment to my soul. Just one moment. We sing the song, Our God is stronger. There's a song we used to sing, Our God is stronger. Our God is, you know, awesome. Our God is great. There was a time under great pressure over my life. Tears flowing. I standing there, raising my hand. And when we sang that song, Our God is greater. Our God is stronger. Our God is awesome in power. Just one moment of the song, my spirit, my soul was touched and I was able to align myself to God. Say, God, you are greater. You are stronger. You are mightier. You can do what man cannot do. You can do the impossible. That's what God wants. God wants you, as you worship Him, where your soul is aligned to Him. Do you need that one moment with God? Isaiah, one moment cry, doom, it is doom day. But the next moment, exclaim, I'm touched, I'm changed, I hear His voice. David, at one moment, lamented, why are you down in the dumb dear soul? Why are you crying in the bruise? Why are you cast down, oh my soul? But the next moment declare, I will fix my eyes on God. Soon I will be praising again. He put a smile on my face. He is my God. That one moment in the presence of God, when you worship Him, God is able to align your soul, your inner motivation, your pain, your disappointment, your fear, to Him who is greater than everything. That one moment, Jesus in the garden, agonizing. Lord, if it's possible, take that cup away from me. The next moment he declared, not my will, but your will. These are so moments when you are in the presence of God that he aligns your motivation, what that drives you, where you are able to hear his voice, feel his touch, and you align yourself with him, saying, not my desire, but yours. Not my dream, but yours. Not my will, but yours. Not my purpose, but yours. This one moment when you stand before him, this one moment is what you need when you worship God. Without this soul moment, you will experience feeling of loss, pain, desperation, and disappointment. But in that one moment when God touched you in your worship, that engaging worship, it brings hope and transformation that you are able to say, like Isaiah, I'm available, use me. I'm willing, send me. I'm yours, Lord. I will use what you have given to me for you. That one moment. Align my purpose. Third action of engaging worship is focusing your attention on God. With all your mind, directing your mind, thoughts, and attention towards him and him alone. It is not easy to concentrate your mind on God. How many of you realize that? To focus on God. There are too many distractions. While you are driving from your house to the church, there are many things in your mind. You are not thinking about, so when I come to church, I'm going to do this with God. I'm going to engage with God. I'm going to be touched with God. There are things filling your mind, you know, and you're wondering what to have for lunch. There are housework, there are work need to be done. But God wants your focus. God wants your focus because he is focused on you. God is focused on you. He wants your focus. He loves you, so he wants you to love him. This is what David say in Psalm 139, verse 1 to verse 3. God, investigate my life. Get all the facts firsthand. I'm an open book to you, even from a distance. You know what I'm thinking. You know when I leave and when I get back. I am never out of your sight. Think about this. God is 100% focused on you. I am never out of your sight. God has his focus on you. He has his attention on you. And this is what he wants. In the same way, he wants you to have your attention in him when you worship him. Not your mind wandering here and wandering there. It's like a husband that said to me, Pastor, you know what? I do this for my wife. I do this for my children. I work so hard, you know, but they are not happy. You know, I told them I love them. They are so not happy. And then I asked, how much time do you spend with them? No, I don't spend time with them. Attention is a powerful expression of love. Attention. And God wants your attention when you worship him. You have Mary, you have Martha. Both loved by God. But Mary gave her attention to Jesus. She sat at his feet and later worshiped there. Attention. God wants you to focus on Him. He wants your focus when you worship Him. And it's difficult. It's difficult at times because you are not an autofocus camera. The minute you press a little bit, it focuses sharply. You are not. So what do you need to do when you worship God to give Him your attention? You need to choose to focus. That means you need to manually shut out all the distraction around you. Shut out all the voice, all the things that I'm thinking about. Shut it out. And just think about Him. The God who we sing. He is so good. He is so wonderful. He is Jehovah Jireh. He is my victory. Nothing I want to think about. I have problems. Yes, I don't want to think about. I want to think about God, who is my provider, my victory. Shut off everything and put my what? My attention, my mind on Him. This is how God wants you to worship Him. The last action, using your ability. Worshiping God, engaging worship is using your ability for God with all your strength. Moses said to Pharaoh, "Let my people go that they may worship me." And Moses only said to Pharaoh once, "Let my people go that they may worship him." But six times, Moses stand before Pharaoh and said this repeatedly, "Let my people go that they may serve me." Six times. You see, from the affection, the heart, then we come to the soul, alignment. Then we come to the thinking, the mind. And now we come to the strength, the ability to serve, the ability to use what you have in your hand. It's called love in action. When you serve God, it is worship. Do you know why Pastor Aaron also call you serve in the church? Because it's worship to God. It's not just doing physical work. It's worship to God. I married long enough to know telling my wife I love you is not enough. Giving all the words and kisses is not enough. Giving all the hug is not enough. Expressing affection is not enough. What does she want? Love in action. Do work. Her car is low on fuel. I fill it up. I don't know whether she knows which side is the fuel tank. The car is dirty. I never like to drive a dirty car. It's an expression of the owner. So her car is dirty. Who washed car? I washed the car. Partly because she is too short to go to the top of the car. Then the lawn needs cutting. I can't get a woman to walk behind the lawnmower. What would the neighbor think of me? So I cut the lawn. The bin needs to be on the curb. Who does it? I do it. How come the lease is always growing? Eh? Oh, it's something that we need to realize. When you worship God with your strength, with your ability, God wants you to serve him. And you serve him by serving others. And there is responsibility in the house of God. You know, inside and outside the Father's house, they require your strength, your ability, your strength, your love action. It's not enough to say, I love you, God. He needs you to demonstrate that love through love action. And this love action is a form of worship to him. We live in a world, people expect to be served. People wait for service and they assume they will be served. But when we serve like Jesus served, every act of service, every random act of kindness become a worship to what? To God. And it's so important that God wants us to serve others because it is an act of worship to God. We shift worship from engaging God, affection, and thoughts to engaging ourselves, alignment. And finally, to engaging others, service. That is what worship is all about. We see that in Isaiah, who saw, who felt, who hear, and who serve, saying, hear my, send me. I encourage you to engage God in worship with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The same way you are commanded to love him. And when you engage with God in worship, it will bring transformation. And transformation will bring commission. From the closet to the world, from the church, these four walls, to a world in need of a Savior. Worship is not just about a Sunday slot of 10 to 12. But worship is a lifestyle, not just in church. What I say, what I do, what I am, they are worship to God. And so I want to encourage you, bring worship as a lifestyle in everywhere you go. Bring glory to his name. And when you come together, engage with him, with all of yourself, the whole being, God, I'm called to commanded to love you with all my heart, my soul, my mind, and my strength. In the same way, God, when I worship you, I will worship you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. Can I have the worship team to come this morning? We are called to be true worshipper. And I know in the midst of us, we all love the Lord. Amen? We all love the Lord and we love him dearly. But let's not be afraid to worship him the same intensity, the same power, the same strength as we worship him. Would you stand up with me? God is looking for true worshipper. Worshipper will allow him to feel their thoughts and their mind with God. Worshipper that will position themselves to allow God to soak their soul. Worshipper that will pause, be still, and allow the Spirit of God to bring spiritual formation and shaping. Worshipper that prompt on their life priority not forgetting, it's all about God, to seek Him first. Worshipper that stand, knowing and possessing this promise, come near to God, and He will come near to you. Let's lift our hand to Him. The same way we love Him, and I know you love Him, you are asked to worship Him. Jesus. Lord, we desire You, Lord. We worship You the same way we are commanded to love You, with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind, and with all our strength. Lord, our heart is passionate about You. Our soul, oh God, inner motivation is about You, Your purpose, Your will. Lord, our mind focus on You as we shut the windows of the world around us. We focus on You, O God. And Lord, we want to use our ability, our strength given by You to serve You and to serve others. Jesus.
If Your glory, cause of who You are, I give You praise. Because of who You are, I will lift my voice and say, Lord, I worship You. Because of who You are, Lord, I worship You. Because of who You are.
Because of who You are.
Because of who You are, I give You glory. Because of who You are, I give You praise. Because of who You are, I will lift my voice. Lord, I worship You because of who You are.
morning, do you need that one moment where God can align your soul to His purpose, to His desire, to His will? That one moment in His presence where you see God for who He is, great and mighty. Nothing is too difficult for Him. That one moment where He touched your heart, He touched your soul, that you are able to say, I will trust Him. I will praise Him. I will give Him the glory. And I will see the salvation of God in my life. That one moment in His presence where your problem, your needs, your challenge become so little, so small, and God become so big. Where you are standing, where you are, if you need that one moment, lift your hand to Him. That one moment that can change everything in your life. The one moment of God that is able to make Him the God who say, I am God and nothing is too hard for me. That one moment is what we all need. Father, even as the hands around lift up to You, Lord, I pray, Father, in that one moment, O God, that You will give a glimpse of Your power, of Your glory, of who You are, that nothing, O God, is too difficult for You, O God. That in that one moment, O God, that we are able to say, not my will, but His will be done. In that one moment, we are able to say, God, I trust You. Nothing is too hard for You, God, that You will see me through. You, O God, You, O God, will make Yourself strong, real, and powerful to me, O God. That one moment. Thank You, Lord. As Your hand touch each life that is here, You say in Your words that You know each one intimately and personally. I ask in Jesus' name, would You lift Your hand as I give the benediction? I pray that God's richest blessing, the glorious riches of God be Your strength. May the Holy Spirit be the power to lead and energize your inner being so that you will know the height, the breadth, the length, and the depth of His love for you. I pray that you will be established and rooted in the love of God as He has loved you. Love Him and worship Him. May you experience the power of God as you get up each morning, as you go about doing the work that God has entrusted to you. That every word that you speak, every action, every thought, may it bring glory to Him as an act of worship. May the fullness of God rest upon you, because you cannot know the depth of His ability. He's able to do more than you think or ask. May the same power that created the heaven and the earth energize and work in you I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord bless you.